Father, we just thank you tonight for another time in your presence. I thank you for mercy that we have found. I thank you for this great grace. I honor you, the head of the church. I thank you for your people, these great people that you have raised in your name to show the victory that you have accrued and procure for us. I honor you. I give you praise. I thank you for the privilege and the mercy, Jesus, that we have found. Thank you, Son of God. I give you praise, my Father. What a great privilege to gather at your feet once again. I ask for help tonight that I am but a child, that you help me. I come behind you, that you will ride upon me, that you will use your bridle to bridle my heart, my mind, my conscience. You will ride on me prosperously. I ask that you will use your bridle to direct me. You will direct my courses. You will direct my path. You will show me your mercy. I will find grace in your sight tonight. You will lead within me. You will lay within my members. You will lay within my tabaret. In the name of Jesus. Help me, garnish me, establish me. Show me mercy. Lead me into life. Bring me into life. Bring us in all into life. Cause understanding to be fruitful to us. Show us great mercy and great grace. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Son of God. We give you praise, our Father. Thank you. I come under the activity of your Spirit, through your seven Spirit. I acknowledge you, the Holy Ghost, who is the administrator of the things of holy, most holy things and hidden things of God. That Holy Ghost, you will help me. You will grant us utterance. You will grant us understanding. You will push us further and make us to come into great prosperity in the name of Jesus. I receive air for everyone here. Understanding shall be full. We are breakthrough in the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Son of God. We honor you, our Father. In Jesus' name we are praying. Amen. Last night, the Spirit of the Lord was speaking to us clearly. And it's very, very important that we can find mercy to relate with what the Lord has in mind to give to us. Let's start tonight from 1 Peter chapter 2, from verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone. So the coming is a living stone. Whose coming is unto a living stone. So that coming is a living stone, me, a living son. To whom coming, the Lord's coming is as unto a living stone. So if he's coming as a stone, we know that it's for building. His intention is to build. And he wants to build. A living stone want to build. So he himself is a living stone. And the materials for building is himself. That's why he's a living stone. The living stone is coming to us. I say to whom's coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men. So it's a living stone that men disallowed indeed. They didn't just disallow. He said disallow indeed. When they put, there are some words, when they put the Bible, they are not for play. They are trying to qualify the kind of rejection. That what disallow is rejection. A living stone is rejected. Men will not build, neither will men allow the living stone to build them with himself. He's the living stone. So he takes his own property to build men. So they say disallow indeed of men or rejected indeed of men. Men don't like this kind of lively stone, because this stone will make it to be, to come alive. We make it to be living, to also live. So disallowed, rejected, or put aside. Men has cast it, so disallow me. Men has cast aspersion on it. Because it's not like earthly stones, like that makes sense to men. It's a living stone. Men like stones, but it's not the kind of stone that men like. Men would prefer to have gold and silver. But men reject this stone. They rejected it. They discarded it. They put it aside. They put disdain on this living stone. But chosen of God. So men disallowed it, rejected it, disdain it, cast aspersion on it, put it aside. But God chose it. God chose the stone, this living stone. And because God chose it, and precious. So we can say that before it can be precious, God must have chosen it. Say that, church. That what God chosen in me, God approves it. God's choice is that God approves it. God has accepted it. To be chosen is to be accepted. To be chosen is to be accepted. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 3 to 5. Ephesians 1, 3 to 5. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. So this stone is, when we're going to be said, chosen is to be accepted. Chosen is to be received. To be accepted is to be adopted. Say to be accepted is to be adopted. Say to be adopted is to be received. That's why I say, whom the Father chasteneth, and every son he calleth, he receiveth. So to be, to whom the Father loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So for him, that stone to become a living stone, that stone have gone through the punishing, went through polishing, through the dressing, through the cutting and shaping of the Father. And so he became a living stone, then the Father chose it. But men do not understand the process that a living stone has gone through. They discarded it, they cast it away. This is also talking exactly on Isaiah 53. Say, he's despised and rejected of men. He's despised and rejected of men. So, men, this person that despised and what? And despised. That is a sacrifice that God raised for mankind. But man does not know what God has done in him. Man despised and rejected him. I would say, not only man, evil came to his own. His own receiving not. But as men have received him, he gave them power to become sons of God. Unknown to them that the secret of sonship is in the living stone. Man don't know that the key to be received in, to become part of those that God have chosen, is what? Is with him. Hallelujah. Amen. So we can see, it's a living stone, chosen of God, and precious. That means, a living stone that God chose is a precious stone. Say a precious stone. A precious stone. But they don't know that it's precious, because they can't see the preciousness of it. Man can't see it because it does not make sense to a carnal natural man. Because the preciousness of it is not in the shining. When we are describing about Jesus in Isaiah 53, they say, for he has no comeliness. He has no comeliness. He has no comeliness. For he shall grow up before him like a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. That's Isaiah 53 verse 2. He has no form. Say, he has no form. That word form, he has no the kind of form that men can relate with. He has no kind of fashion that men of the earth make sense to them. And that's how God does his work. When the God that God is raising a man, he does not make form. He has no form because man has form, but the form that man has, God wants us to be transformed from that and be conformed to his own person. Said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So why men can reject it? Why men can despise it? A man despised and rejected of men. But this person, this being, this life is to say, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. Can you see? A tender thing is coming out of dry ground. So it's a tough ground, tender out. You say, how can send tender thing sprout out of hard ground? It's because there's a power of brokenness and meekness. That is why the world will not accept this living stone. Because of the power of meekness, because of the power of brokenness, the power of contriteness, the power of humility. That is all what is all entails in his tenderness. That tenderness, you know, just like when I was saying something on Sunday that men don't know God. When God told God, God said, God is a lakpaino, God is a lewini, God is, they describe God by his, what God wears, and they don't know God. They have not touched the nature, the person of God. That God is a tender God. There's thunder around him, but he is not the thunder. So, that the thunder around God does not mean God is a thunder. God is not a thunder. God is not a God of thunder. In Yoruba land, is called Shango. So, God is not the God of thunder. God is not Shango. He might thunder around God, but that does not mean he's God. There was a time Elijah said he's tired of the whole matter. Jezebel was about to kill her. And then, that God has not helped, the prophet has been killed. And God said, okay, if you're tired, go to the mountain around. And went to the mountain. And he began to thunder. And he said, God must be here. He thundered so much that rock fell off. Rock based to feces. Mountain got rented. Winds was blowing. He said, God must be there. Earthquake everywhere. A thunder. There was earthquake. There was fire. But I would say, but God was not in there. But where God was in that a still small voice. Was in still small voice, which talk about God tenderness. That where God has kept so much strength is in his tenderness. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So he said, has no form nor comeliness. There's no comeliness about him. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. You see, oftentimes people talk about worship God, the beauty of his holiness, worship God. Really, when you see God, what you think God is, it may not be what God is. You will not believe this. When you see God, I feel that God knows that man may not exist. That's why he decided to put everything around himself. Because God wants to help our heart. God wants to help the heart of creature. I feel that's why God allowed those arrangements around him, those thunder, throne, living creature, those weird beings to be around him. Because really, 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 I feel that when we see God, if God have not helped your heart, you will just say, you just think, don't let me say what is my heart, yeah? Don't let me say what is my heart. Because you'll be surprised. If you take everything around God off and you see God the way God is, you'll be surprised that a lot of us will despise him. So God knew creature that he will take divine nature to make creature to be able to appreciate that kind. That kind, when I say it's a kind, God's kind, that nobody will appreciate God's kind. God's species, God's kind. It's not a thing that a creature can relate with. Right. So God had to build a lot of things around himself. Because of the nature of who God is meek to a fault. Why did I say God is meek to a fault? When you think that God should act, God will not act. That's a meekness to a fault. After a while, for that God come to intervene for us. God does not break his law, but God look at, okay, this guy can't take it. He has obeyed me. Then God will come with vengeance or retribution on he that troubles you. But really, 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 that's not the person of God. You know, Satan has fallen. We don't even know when Satan fell. God could have dealt with Satan before he created man. Before he created the earth, in the day he created the earth, but before he populated the earth, God could have removed Satan. But we don't know how many ages Satan was. Before God came to form the earth that he created and populate the earth. And in that dimension, before God created time, those were everlasting extent. We don't know how many everlasting that God endured Satan before he brought the earth. After effect. So it's just to show you that God had been enduring before man started enduring Satan. What did I say? God, after Satan fell, God cast him out. God didn't rush to come and make the earth. God come and form the earth. God cast Satan into abyss. And God was enduring him. God seeing the scripture that he made becoming bad in his presence. Checking abyss. And God endure it. Before now, God now break man to come and endure what he has been enduring. And we have not even endured to 6,000 years. We are tired. You are tired. Just 6,000 years. But God has been enduring it everlasting, everlasting. I'm just trying to tell you that. So when eventually God comes to close the age, God has said, if not because of God, the day shall be shortened. God, it's not because of God. Because of the leg, God will shorten the day. So God can continue like this, allowing Satan to continue forever. And God has to endure. God has inner stamina. And Satan can't wear God. Satan will keep going, go, 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 go. And Satan one day will just blow up. And with God will say, where are you? You don't destroy yourself. I know that you are the one that will destroy yourself before. And Satan will not appear again. He will just pow. He will just distribute it to thin air. Thin air. Thin air. Because my God that made Satan is heaven. Now someone say never. He's a being. He's a spirit. He can't. Who tells you so? You don't know God. Heaven is spiritual. The Bible say, for heaven we met, we fervent it. And Satan is a property. What they used to make in is heavenly material. So if heaven can met, Satan can met. And if God leave heaven to continue like this, heaven continue, heaven keep disintegrating. If it can happen to rock wears out by the force of weathers. They just keep breaking. Weather, sun will beat on it, become cold, rain will fall, it will crack. And then that crack, water will go through it. It will start wearing out, washing it, wash it out. The gap will become wider. If you can leave it for 1,000,000 years, you won't find that rock again. Force of nature, wow. If nature can break and disintegrate and dissolve a whole rock that look like it can't break, how much more God forces, eternal forces of God. Hallelujah. Yeah. But God will cut it short because of the legs. It's not because of God. God knows that you can't take it again. If I allow this guy will wear you guys out. It will conquer. So let me just cut the whole process. So God will do intervention. So God closing the age is intervention of God. It's not really that God cannot allow the thing to continue. God can allow it to continue unless it expire himself. It will just expire himself. And when it's here, it will become dissolved. There will never be remembrance of that creature again. Because it's a creature. And any creature can evaporate to thin air. You won't find him again. Because where they brought the property from is in a space. Heaven is a space. But it's an invisible spiritual space. So that thing will just disintegrate into the spiritual space. But God capturing him and putting him in air, God still loves him. Air is a love. It's also a preservation so that he won't disintegrate formally and disappear. It's love. Lake of fire is love of God to Satan. God is not a Satan. God is not revengeful. God putting Satan in lake of fire is not revenge. God is not revenging. Is God loving him? Just that this is how you have turned yourself to be. It's nothing I can do. I have to cast into outer darkness where there's a fire and brimstone. That is a home for him. He's not tormented, but that's the best God can do for him. Just like what Pastor Dimitri said, if you put Satan in the world to come, new heaven, new earth, he can't stay there. He will be restless. He will be trouble. Because what you are, you cannot put fire in your bosom. And sleep. Satan has ignited a fire that cannot be quenched. So that's why God has to put into the lake of fire. So the essence of putting fire is to be compatible to what he has turned himself to be. So lake of fire is just to make it to compatible. Lake of fire is like AC for him. It's love. It's not punishment. It's a love of God to him. That instead of you to just disappear to thin air, let me just put it somewhere where you can perpetuate yourself. You will have a forever memory that I'm the one that do this to myself. Hallelujah. You know, it's like a child that you have been warning. Don't touch iron. Decided to touch iron And one of the days say, okay, he won't kill her. You just make sure I have ice block around. Maybe you burn yourself. You put ice block and you break some egg and pour some egg on the eyelid. And next time when you see anything orange, 5 kilometers away, it's on a fire, fire, hot, hot, fire, fire. He run away. Hallelujah. That's just on the light note. But we can see that, say if you see him, he was despised and rejected, and we esteem him not. As he comes, who's a living stone, disaligned it of men, but chosen of God, and precious, but to God is precious. Because God knew that it's a work, that a living stone is a work that he wrought. It's an everlasting work that God did. Ye also, they that believed him. So who are these? Ye also, you see that in down verses. Ye also as lively stones. So for these people, ye also as lively. So he's a living stone. You are a lively stone, or a stone that have come alive by the reason of faith. As it's written, the judge shall live, or the judge shall be lively. Faith. So lively stone are those who have obeyed faith unto charity. They are now alive. You also as a lively stone have built up a spiritual house. Spiritual house. That spiritual house is Christ. A spiritual house, comma, an holy priesthood. So an holy priesthood is holy temple. That is Ephesians. So as a spiritual house, which is Christ, you move into becoming an holy priesthood. An holy priesthood is most holy priest. Say an holy priesthood is a most holy priest. Say there are priests and there are high priests. Say high priest is a most holy priest. Or high priest is an holy priest. So priests are spiritual houses. Say priests are spiritual houses. Say, high priest, our holy priesthood. To offer up spiritual sacrifices. So both a spiritual house and our holy priesthood, all of them offer spiritual sacrifice. But these spiritual sacrifices are not the same kind of sacrifice. That's why they call it to offer up spiritual sacrifices. They didn't just say to offer up spiritual sacrifice. It's to offer up spiritual sacrifices. So there's a spiritual sacrifice that a spiritual house can offer. A spiritual house can offer a spiritual sacrifice of life and peace. Say that, church. Or a spiritual house can offer up a godly sacrifice. Or it can offer up righteously. Offer up righteous sacrifice to God. But an holy priesthood can offer up a sweet smelling sacrifice. Say, an holy priesthood will offer up a sweet smelling sacrifice. You find that in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Be ye followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us for an offering and a sacrifice. Say, an offering and a sacrifice to God. So what is the kind of sacrifice? What is it? For a sweet-smelling savour. So this sweet-smelling savour was what Paul was talking in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. This is the operation of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Furthermore, when I came to trot to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. And I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went henceforth unto Macedonia. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make manifest the savour of his knowledge. Who make manifest the savour? God. Now, thanks unto God, which causes us to triumph in Christ and make manifest the savour of his knowledge. So, the savour, say savour. So, this knowledge here, the savour here is not talking about revelation. Savour here is a spiritual sacrifice. But this savour is a yes of obedience that a man that had the knowledge of God have generated. You cannot have savour if there's no obedience. Say that, church. Say, savour is the pressing, the crushing, and the fragrance of my obedience. Says savour is the aroma. The sweet smelling aroma that my obedience generates to God and to saints. Because it's not only God that received your savour. Saints can also smell that savour. You remember, we were talking in the book of Isaiah, I saw the Psalm 45. He said, his name is like ointment, prophet. But it's like a savour. Savour. So, that's 2 Corinthians 2:15 said, for we are unto God. Everyone say, we are unto God. Not to man. This is to God. And that Ephesians chapter 5 said, and walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself for us an offering to God for a sweet smelling savour. So go back to that Corinthians. For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ. Say that, church.
For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ.
So when a man has come into Christ, charity, and is doing his perfect love of the brethren, when you are walking in love, you become a sweet smelling savour of Christ. You can be Christ, but you are not yet generating sweet smelling savour. What did I say? You will not start generating sweet smelling savour until you start loving the brethren fervently. So you must purify your soul in obeying the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Philippians 4:15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. So Paul was acknowledging giving and receiving. There's no church that was given to Paul. Nobody, no people are giving except this Philippian church, which was Macedonia. That they were giving, they were sending finance and materials things to Paul for his mission. Say for the beginning of the gospel. But you only, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Now, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that I may abide unto your account. But I have all things and abound. I am full. I will receive of the prophetess the things which we are sent from you. Ever say the things?
The things.
So they must have sent different things. It's not only money they sent to, they sent things to him. Which we are sent from you. Say an order.
An order.
So if I think it's NIV, render it. You call it an order of a sweet smelling, a sacrifice, acceptable, well pleasing to God. Look at all these adjectives. An order of a sweet smelling, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. And what Paul was describing here was not what they sent. Because if we got a saint, he said they sent the things. Say the things. I like the things. I like an odor. I like a sweet smell. I like a sacrifice. So if our things, he will have said, which thing you say for me? All odor. So it's not talking about the material thing that they sent. It's talking about the configuration of their soul. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So he said, I have visited the things which we are sent from you to me. So he knew that. So he wasn't talking about the things that he sent. He was talking about their person. The things which he called that, it's not the things. So he called the things, but those things are not what he was copying. He called it an odor, a sweet smelling. That what he called an odor was their love for him. So, your love for your brother, when you walk in love and you generate a sweet smelling savor to God by your obedience, say your obedience turn into savor. That your obedience, that's how you bring forth sacrifice. Your obedience is what you use to bring forth sweet smelling when you obey God. It's not only God that smells it when you walk in love, brethren also can smell it. That's why the sweet smelling savor of Paul could minister life to them that are saved, and ministered death to them that are perishing. So that he deal with their perishing, so that they can come into life. That's in server. He has the server of life to life, and server of death to death. That sweet smelling server is a sweet smelling server. He can minister life to life, and can minister death into what? To death operation, so that the man can come into life. So, and that thing was love. It was love. So, the things which you have sent unto me, an old dove, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. So, what God please is not the egusi soup and the clothes, the materials, and the money that they sent to Paul, that God was well pleased with. God was well pleased with their heart that gave. That's why he said, for you first of all, give yourself first. So go to verse 19. So, if they give themselves, when he was talking about these people, this Philippian, Macedonian, to Corinthians church, he said, for they first gave themselves. He said, they gave themselves first, then they also gave their substances. That's why Joker was talking about a woman that brought just one diary into the car. She said she has given more than everyone that brought big money. Because Joker was examining the heart from where that thing came from. So it's to offer us spiritual sacrifice. So I'm not dividing spiritual sacrifice into two. But it's a spiritual sacrifice that a spiritual house can offer. So a spiritual house is what I call all the buildings which are Christ. And I said the sacrifice that a spiritual house offer is called the offering of life and peace. Say offering of life and peace. So when you're a spiritual house, you offer life and peace. You can give life to men, and you can give peace to men. The offering you are offering to God, and he says it's acceptable to God. But there's another higher being that can offer. They are an holy priesthood or an holy temple can also offer spiritual sacrifice. But this spiritual sacrifice is a high sacrifice. It's the sacrifice that Jesus Christ offered in Ephesians 5. I beseech you, children, be you followers of God. Those who are following God. Those who are following God can offer higher than what a spiritual house can offer. Because, followers of God. Everybody say followers of God.
Followers
of God. So, you can be either follower of life and peace. You become Christ. Then you become followers of God. But I say something that you can be Christ. When you are Christ, you have loved the brethren. Brethren will appreciate you. But that does not mean that you are already a sweet-smelling sacrifice. Before you can be a sweet-smelling sacrifice, God, you must love the brethren fervently. You are trying to do a commandment that will give you access. And for you to be accepted or to be chosen of God. For you to be chosen of God. So, an holy priesthood to offer us spiritual sacrifices. So, both a spiritual house, comma, and an holy priesthood, all of them involve in spiritual sacrifices. But the spiritual sacrifices are different. A spiritual house will offer a godly sacrifice. And the godly sacrifice is the sacrifice of life and peace. Or what he called, Malachi call it, there shall the offering of Judah, there shall they offer to me in righteousness. It's an offering of righteousness. But offering of an holy priesthood or an holy an holy temple is a sweet smelling sacrifice. It's a sweet smelling sacrifice. Or how Paul call it, a living sacrifice. Because it's a living sacrifice.
Living sacrifice.
So the sacrifice move becoming a living sacrifice. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So for you to be a living sacrifice, it should like you are grown up to be like a living stone. So a living sacrifice is an everlasting sacrifice. Say that, church. It's a sacrifice that you can offer after you have received the mercies of God. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies
Now your body there, I taught it before, that it's not talking about your physical body. It's talking about your soul as a body, your spirit as a body, and your elder body as a body. That's your body means your whole entirety. Offer your whole as a spiritual body. Because you have been whole. You have received mercies. You have received mercy that you can offer all your bodies. The body of your actual man, your body simply means all your members. When you have bodies, better than your members. What's the bodies are members? You can say that you present your members a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So you can see that. Everybody say holy, acceptable unto God. Say a living sacrifice is a sweet smelling sacrifice. That is holy, acceptable unto God. 1 Peter chapter 2, you will find it there. You also, as a lively stone, have built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood. So, consider this an holy priesthood here is a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. So, a spiritual house, comma, an holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. An holy priesthood is an holy temple. That is the temple of the living God. Ever say, an holy priesthood is a temple of the living God. So, an holy priesthood is a man that has received mercies from God to offer up a living sacrifice. So you can break sacrifices into two. You can have sacrifice of life and peace. I can have a living sacrifice. So a living sacrifice is an holy sacrifice. Say that, church. And that holy sacrifice is a sweet smelling sacrifice. Or it's a sweet smelling savour. To God. So your love walk is a sacrifice. Say that, church. That's why you must not pray with, you must can't play with every level of love walk. You must take your love walk seriously. Because you know that anytime you obey love work, you are offering sacrifice. God does not hear bull. God does not hear. But anytime God obey the command of love of the brethren, to obey the command of love of spiritual authority, love brethren to your enemies, you are sacrificing to God. When you walk in love with your brothers, you walk in love with your brethren, you walk in love with your enemies, you walk with love with what with spiritual authority, you are sacrificing to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So holy and acceptable unto God by Jesus Christ, verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture. This is Isaiah chapter 28. Behold, I lay in Zion. So it's trying to establish that there's a living stone. So that it's not only that I'm the one extraying it. What I call a living stone is also wherefore. Also, it is contained in the scripture of the prophets. So what I'm teaching you is also in the scripture. So what I call a living sacrifice, that is that you are not becoming a living stone that is being built up a spiritual house, and you are moving for a spiritual house to become an holy temple that you can offer up spiritual sacrifice. Well, as able unto God by Jokai, is also contained in the scripture. So I'm not just the one saying it. It's also contained in those scriptures. So he went to Isaiah to go and borrow a template to establish his thoughts that he's teaching about here. Hallelujah. So he went to Isaiah chapter 28 and began to expatiate on what he has taught from verse 1 to verse 7 or 8 about 1 Peter. So what he taught from verse 1 to verse 8. So he's trying to use Isaiah to also repeat it and establish it further. So he quoted Isaiah, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. So what a chief cornerstone is, a living stone. Say that, church. So he called it a living stone. So a chief cornerstone is an everlasting stone. Say that, church. So Paul called it a living stone, but the prophet called it a chief cornerstone. So the chief cornerstone is the one that holds the whole structure. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. What do you call it in verse 4? So who come as unto a living stone? Is a lie indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Say chosen of God.
Chosen of God.
So to be chosen of God is an elect stone. Say elect
stone.
It's a chosen stone.
So
you can see that when you say something is a living stone, is chosen or is elect. And by reason of his election, he come into being precious. So those are zone of everlasting life. Say zone of everlasting life. But if it's a Christ stone, it's a foundation stone, a tried stone. Precious. A tried stone can be precious. Likewise, a living stone, look at it. Christ have progression. Say Christ, a
foundation. A
stone. I thought it's that Christ foundation is stone. A stone means faith. A tried stone, hope. Then what? Precious stone, charity. So likewise, in the season of everlasting, he also have his own calibration. A living stone, also a living stone, or what they call a chief cornerstone, as elect and precious. When you do first work, you make your election sure. When you do last work, you become precious. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just as in Christ, faith, hope, and charity are calibrated in those stones, a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, which is hope, a pressure, which is charity. Likewise, in the realm of the living, in the realm of everlasting life, in the realm of everlasting God, in the realm of the incorruptible, he also has his calibration and his division. So his first division is that his elect. Say elect.
Elect.
And precious.
And precious.
So elect stone is stone that have finished the first work. When they start showing the last work and you do it, you become precious. So there is preciousness in Christ and there's preciousness in life. That's why when you see the way the apostle taught it, there's the precious blood of the Lamb and there's the blood of Christ. Christ has the blood, but there's also precious blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So when I talk about precious blood of the Lamb, they talk about everlastingness. Hallelujah, somebody.
Yeah.
So you can attain preciousness in Christ, which is charity. But that's not all that is precious. You can also attain preciousness in what? In the living stones. So make your lively stone to be precious. Or you can make your lively stone to be elect. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So what make your living stone or cornerstone be precious is how much work. When you do first works, prepare your stone to become elect. It's how much work, commandments of everlasting life you're able to keep. When you are doing the command of everlasting life, you will do it until you become elect. To become elect means God will accept your person. Say, God accepting your person.
God accepts
you. You know, that state of accepting you. It was what the Lord did to Philadelphian church. He said, accept before you an open door, which no man can shut. That open door is a door into everlasting door. It's a door into everlasting life. They have done a work, and they have done the second work. But they have done the second work. They just need to enter fully. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But they seem to overcome. Because they also need to overcome it. So they have not finished their work. And to the angel of the Philadelphia and right, say Philadelphia. The word Philadelphia means love of the brethren. The word Philadelphia means love of the brethren. That was the meaning of the word Philadelphia. Philadelphia. Love of the brethren. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, right? This thing said he that is holy. So he that is holy there is everlasting. And he that is true. So he that is holy, everlasting. And he that is true, eternal. He that is holy is everlasting. He that is true is eternal. So he's speaking from his everlasting to speak them to his eternal realm. He that are key of David. He that are key of David. And he that open it. And no man can shut. And shut. And no man can open. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. And no man can shut it. For thou art a little strength. And I've kept my word. They have kept my word. My word is what my thy works. And I've not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. So, this is John chapter 14. If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray, Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the seed of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but because he has seen him, not that knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be with you forever. Verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, the words hear me no more. And you shall see, because I live, you shall also live. At that day, you shall know that I am my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. He that have my commandment and keepeth them, it is he that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him, and have manifested myself to him. So look at this way. Shall be loved my Father, and I will love him, and manifest myself to him. So that what I've said before, an open door is him manifesting himself to him. When he manifests himself, open door comes to you. So go by. Behold, I will make them come and worship you, and to know that I have loved thee. Because I have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. I will say hour of temptation. We shall come upon all the world to try they that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold thou fast with thy heart, that no man take thy crown. In that overcoming will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Say, a pillar in the temple of my God.
A pillar in the temple of my God.
So, can you see? So, that means I will constitute you finally as a temple of the living God. Say, a pillar. In the temple of my God. So when I say an holy temple is for God. So this is everlasting God. In that coming, will I make a temple of my God? It shall go no more out. I will write upon in the name of my God. So from there now it's moving to eternal. I will make you a pillar in the temple of my God. That is living God. And it shall go no more out. I mean, for you not to go more out, I mean, I will seal you into eternal life. I will write upon him my name, the name of my God. This is eternal. That my name is my, I will put to you, I will give to him eternal nature. And the name of the seat of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. Imala de sasalote, suvali, manglate leshe, beroni andaros, beliat, sato sese balindia, shakabarinato, sespo. In I seval in aggressa selo di anda brofeletes, ses mandre, sesemenon, dinacles suveret, semenem, maina, ses bayenum, ses sebat, calianda, ses ses sovet, serinonte, sabro, elamos ses baletes, elanos ses manus, terrena ses sebotes. In our coming, I make a pillar in the temple of my God. It shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven for my God. I will write upon him my new name. And you that have here, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you can say that. So this church is if they endure to the end, it will make them a pillar in the temple of my God. So you can say that pillar. So the temple of my God. Then they will not be able to go out anymore. They're not going to go out anymore. They will see them. They have been seen by the name of the Father, which is my God. Then begin to talk about promises of which are reward of a man that has finished the work. But when if they're able to endure to the end, they are ruled that they become a pillar. The mandate for this church that they were supposed to be a pillar in the old temple. They are, that old church, their place is a pillar. Say that old church. Say everybody that overcome in that church. If that church, if they are 50,000 or they are 50 million, if 30 million overcome in that church, they will be a pillar in the temple. Just one pillar. All of them, because it's not, God is not going to receive individual. God will receive the company of them. And because they are bonded together. So that bond, God will make them a pillar in the temple. And the temple has had more than one pillar. But the destiny of this church, that it should be a pillar. Love City Church, we have what we're supposed to be in the temple of God as a carpet house. We have what we're supposed to be. So we will become pillar. But the destiny of the church of Philadelphia, a church that, which is all called love of the brethren. They are in love. Their role is to be a pillar. Because they are in love. They are Philadelphia church. They are love church. Their role is also to be a pillar in the temple. But there are other places in the temple. The temple has other places. But this old church, they that overcome amidst them, they will become pillar. And all of them may not overcome the same time. Because people overcome the same time. So it means you overcome as long as you are. It's through the web of that church. That's why you don't hop from church to church. When you hop from church to church, that's why you must design where God has planted you. Where God has planted you is very, very critical to what God wants to produce out of you. If you are meant to be a pillar, but you got to go and join a church that's a door. Or the door of the temple. It's still in the temple of God, but you are, and you will be in the temple. You can hear, but you will not discover that. Wow, my role is to really be a pillar. I'm supposed to be part of the members that constitute the pillars. But you have not lost. You still be in the temple. You are the door. You are in the place where you open access for men to come into part of the temple. It's also a very good. David said, "I would rather be a doorkeeper." I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. So churches has destinies. Every destiny is to arrive in God, but we have our uniqueness. We have our different places. In my Father's house, which is temple, are there not many? There are different parts in my Father's house. So what's going to constitute each member, different places, is a bonding. That's why if a church does not bond, they won't receive into that temple. If you don't bond, they won't receive you. That's why one of the roles of every pastor is to make sure every flock blend and become one. Because that is when they're able to receive them as a member of the temple. Because they can't receive them individually. The whole building has to be framed together and grow to an holy temple in the Lord. They have to receive them as a company. That's why when they were calibrating the book of Revelation, look at how they received them. All those, they counted 12,000, 12,000, 12,000, 12,000. They calibrated 12,000, 12,000. For the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. Judah, 12,000. They were companies. And after they come then, that was the first time that when they opened for the door to everlasting life. Because after that, he said, and I saw a great multitude which cannot be numbered for of all nations, kindred, people, tongue, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God. We sit upon the throne and unto the Lamb, and all the angels stood about the throne and the four and everything, and fell down on their feet and worshiped God, and saying, Amen. Blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? Where cometh they? And I said unto them, sir, die nowhere. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and I washed their robe, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serving day and night in his temple. They are before the throne, but they are serving the temple. So those who consider the temple are the 144,000 that they seal. The temple that they brought the multitude to were the 144,000 that they seal. That's what they are, the temple. The temple that is before the throne. The temple must receive. That's why they could not bring for tribulation to adverse nations until the temple was ready. Because nation will be invested, purified into the temple for service to be carried out. The only temple is for service to God. So, and if the temple of service is not ready, you can't invest nation into the temple. Into the temple. So that temple, don't think that the temple is a building. Those temples are men. They are men. Men that have received the name of the Father on their forehead. They now consider the temple of the living God that you can bring men to them. You also find this operation happening into the city. This is a temple. You find bringing men for nation of them. They shall bring their gift into the city. The city is the habitation of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope I'm not confusing somebody. So this temple here, where so when they were sealing men, 12,000, they were receiving the company. They are receiving buildings that they're supposed to frame together to construct temple so that they can now work in the nations, harvest from the church, the nations, and bring them into those temple for service to God.
Jesus. Runi Mandagania, Vesuzele, Nakatabino Gavambo, Gavani Manegadu Mekaladu, and the Akalama Gonate, Pepper Brigid, the Pepper Brigger de Gade, Shigetamana, Nanana, 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 Manana, Nanana, 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 for I long for offering. I long for offering. I long for offering. I greatly desire for this manner of sacrifice, even being spoken of, even being declared. Even I desire greatly, even that this would be offered, even that this would be offered, even for the adversary, even the sworn adversary has even made a verdict that even such sacrifice, even such offering would not come up from my temple, would not come up from my temple, even to make my temple desolate, even to make my temple even lack elements, even lacking in elements of offering, even lacking in elements of offering, even lacking in elements of sacrifice. But in these days, in this time, I will raise again utensils of offering. I will raise again, even from all ends of the head, even to flow into it, and to bring forth that manner of sacrifice again, even to heaven, even for yet he has sworn, yet it's a sworn effort in my heart, even to see that such sacrifice is even offered again in my temple, it will be done, even by the power of oath, it will be done, and it will be finished, and all eyes shall see, even the giving of this manner of offering, even the giving of this manner of sacrifice, even see the Spirit of God.
So, this temple that they brought in these people is into... Jokai was teaching the same thing. But they say, oh, Jokai taught it. Jokai say, for I've called you to come and reap where thou have not sowed. For another has bestowed labor. But others are enter into their rest. But that you enter to rest does not mean you labor. You must these people came to labor to serve. But these temples are men. They have constituted them in the Lord. This temple is the Lord that they received them in the Lord. But they are constituted. So, like they promised the prevail to Philadelphia church. Because this book of Revelation, church, we gave them 2-3. We are to the churches. In chapter 4 was he that sat on the throne. Chapter 5 was a book was opened. Then 6 was the breaking of the seal, which was the revelation that they brought. So all the breaking of the seals are revelation, are help. It's a preach of everlasting gospel, but they broke everlasting gospel to the least. This breaking of the seal, and so they are vested people. There was ever seals accelerated men of Christ and collide everything into everlasting seeds of everlasting life to come and serve God. So all those churches and the work of redemption from churches to this time, when this thing will happen. Yeah, it's not yet happen. I'm talking about prophetically, it will happen. When tribulation will arise on the earth. But before this time, God has been constituting temple in the Lord. Like our generation now, before us, Paul, other generations have been becoming part of the temple in the Lord. So the temple that they brought this mass multitude of women on temptation, we are men. So Paul is one of the temple there. All the early apostles are part of this temple. And all that saints in other ages that have overcame and became into this temple. So if we to overcome, this tribulation did not fully arise in our day. If this pendulum and God have not able to arrest it. But we take our place. So God will have finally prepared the temple ready. But finally, God will do the last harvest of those who are ready, which he calibrated 144,000, to gather them and add them to that temple. Then tribulation will break loose. Because he said, see that you ought not the earth yet, until the servant of our God have been seen on their forehead. And they said the seed was the seed of the living God. And we know the seed of the living God is the seed of the Father. It's the Father's name on them. So that seed of the Father's name is for what? It's for an holy temple of God. So those who have the seed of the Father is to finally receive Ave. But before this time, they have been taking people. But they did the last set of those as able to seal up that temple. That was what I referred to before the great tribulation. They harvested them all over the earth, in the four winds of the earth. And they added them as the last member of that temple. Then tribulation. So that the temple is fully ready. They can now unleash tribulation to harvest people from the church that are Cana and nations and Gentiles, to harvest everybody, great multitude that cannot be numbered, into that temple. Because in that temple, I was reading something. The book of Ezekiel 41. It was the vision of the temple. He said, show the house to the house of Israel. So the temple is the pattern of worship. Where the worshippers, these people that they brought from tribulation, where they derive inspiration of how to worship from, is these people that constitute the temple. They are the tenants. They are ordinance of service. They are the one. So the temple is the one that teaching them how they should serve God. They are the house that need to show to this house. So these people that they have said, they will be reading the house and they will be serving God. After the pattern, say, see that you build according to the pattern, so they'll be serving God. God has raised a pattern. Say God, say there's the temple. Say the temple, a pattern of spiritual sacrifice. I said the temple, say the holy temple of the living God is spiritual pattern for holy priesthood. So they become the pattern for these people that they just brought in. They just brought them in to come and serve. They are about to start their service. But some people have done their service finish and become part of that temple. And so when they bring them into this allocation, if they to serve and serve to the end, they also add them to that building.
But those that does not serve to the end, they will not be part of that building. Because they kept on serving until Revelation chapter 11. So from this great multitude, they saw, they said, and the temple of God was open. It gave me a read. I should mention the temple of God. And they that worship in it, they that worship in it, and those who are serving that temple, that they harvested them in 7. So 7, 8, 9, 10. All to 11, they were mentioning everlasting service for them. So at 11, they say, now, take and go and measure them. Anyone that have not grown up to the altar, leave them. The court. If they are still in the court, they've not moved into the inner house of the temple. There, leave them. And they was giving me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel is saying, rise and measure the temple. Measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. So the temple of God, the altar of the temple, which is there, and they that worship therein. That all they are served there. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. But it's given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread upon their 4 months. So if you are not able to be part of the holy temple, then you can still be tread upon. Yeah, you don't see the way of the treading upon by the weakness of the two witnesses. They kill them, they attack them, the beast that descended out of the toilet still came to make war with them. That's so to tread upon them. That's what it means. The courts, although they are courts of God, but they can still be tread upon. That means they can still be hurt. To tread upon them, they can still be hurt. They can still be hurt. It can still hurt them. They can still hurt them. But in their hurting them, something came to them. The spirit of life from God came there, and they were caught up to heaven. Hallelujah. But say you can see that the temple is not a big building. When they mention the temple, it's not a temple in heaven that they're mentioning. It's men that are mentioning. Men that are mentioning them. Measure them. Are this one meet up to be an altar? Altar? That altar is a good altar. Altar is the only one that can have access. Even if you have not finished work, you must be an altar. The least person should be an altar. Yeah. Say the least person should be an altar. Be an altar. That should be a least person. Measure the temple of God. The temple of God is the most holy place. Or another word for the temple of God is the ark of God. So another word for the holy temple is the ark of God. Say that, church. Ark is a temple. Say that, church. So ark is a temple. In the field of the wood, in the forest, we have found the temple. And what they brought out of the temple are shittim wood that they used to make the ark. And they overlay with gold. Just as Solomon overlaid the temple with gold. What they did to the ark was what Solomon did to the temple. So the ark, so in the wilderness, Solomon, the ark was the temple of God. He said, build the ark that I may become into your midst. Arise, O God, that are the ark of thy strength. Return to the 10,000 of thy people. So, ark is what brings God down. So, ark is a temple of God in the midst of his people. So, it was a small box, but they built it as a temple. So, ark is a temple. So, when they say, Book of Revelation, chapter 11, towards they say, and the temple of God was open in heaven, and I saw the ark of God. So, the ark of God was seen. So, the ark of God is really the temple of God, or living God. Hallelujah. Yeah. So the ark is the most holy temple. Say that, church. Or the temple of the living God. So ark is the temple of the living God. Or ark is the most holy temple. Because what the ark is carrying God. That's where God dwells. God dwells in the ark. Say that, church. God bless in that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, to make up the temple of God or the temple of living God, it has to be. It had to be. So give me that, Peter. So he said, as far as it's contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, an elect, precious. So for you to be elect, you must do work. Because elect, an elect of God, unto this elect, you can't be elect until you go through another sanctification of the Spirit. Elect according to this foreknowledge of God the Father, true sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood. So that's how you produce a lead stone or a chosen of God's stone, which is after the order of the living stone, is that you carry into the process of sanctification. Say sanctification.
Sanctification.
So this sanctification, yeah, it's not sanctification as in Christ. Is sanctification of the truth of the Son and the Father. We read it in Jude. It's not truth, it's sanctified by the truth. That's what they call the truth. Jude, the son of Jesus Christ, and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. So revelation of first works are sanctification reagents. When God begins to reveal works, when God begins to reveal works, give me Ephesians 3 to 5. Let's see what are these works. Blessed be the God of all logic, who are blessed all with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Look at it. The Father, according as he has chosen us, or he has elected us in him, that means in Christ, or in the Lord, you are becoming a stone in the Lord, a temple. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. This holy, and without blame before him in love. Having the adoption of children, these children are who the Father is receiving. Adoption, the Father that does adoption. Adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. The Father, through Jokai, he adopted to himself. According to the good pleasure of his will. So the good pleasure of his will here is the revelation of the first works. Say the good pleasure of his will. These are revelation of the good lights. Every good gift. So this good gift is what he call the what? He call it in the book of Ephesians. He call it what? He said, having predestined us unto the adoption, the way they're going to adopt us, I mean, the way he's going to choose us. Because talk about he has chosen us in him through Christ Jesus. He has chosen us through Christ Jesus unto for himself. The father wants children. But the father can't just get children. He had to get his children through Jesus Christ. That means, Jesus, go and serve me. Go and obey me. Go and raise. I will give you children. Let me raise them. Then I will collect them from you. It's not for yourself. Give me. It's when I want children. So, but you are going to use you as a platform to raise children that I will choose, that I will adopt for myself. But I can't accept them until they are holy and without blame before me, not before you. I will be able to examine them and say, "What Jesus will try for me, then I can receive them." According as he has chosen, or according as he has elected us, or he has accepted us, or he has received us in him before the foundation of the world. He has done that before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestined us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure. The way, the process that what he has predestined us before the world began, we come to pass that he will introduce the good pleasure of his will. So we cannot fulfill our predestination. We cannot fulfill our being chosen before the world began until there's revelation of the good pleasure of his will. So the revelation of the good pleasure of his will is the giving of good light to us. Say that, sure.
The good pleasure of his will.
And that good light is what he called it to Ephesian church. In book of Revelation, he called them your first love, which is your first work. So works are love. Say that, church. So when they say commandments, which are first works, are love works. Love works start by loving the brethren fervently. That's the beginning of first work. Say first works.
First works.
First works begins in loving the brethren of God. They want to cause you to love the Father. Say the love of the Father. Say the love of the Father. For you to transit from the love of the brethren, you need to love the brethren fervently. What does the loving the brethren fervently do to you? Is to purge finally from you what tendency of lusts that still remain in you. Because for if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not him. And the love of the Father is works. What they call the love of the Father is sheni. So the love of the Father is work. So that means you need to love the brethren fervently until they will install in you the love of the Father. Because for whosoever doeth the Lord of the Father, doeth the will of God. 1 John chapter 2. Love not the world, not the things that are in the world. This thing, if you can understand these things, it will be a breakthrough for me. And will be a major breakthrough for us. Because people say, how can I find everlasting works? Everlasting work does not just come to you. They have to come and install everlasting work into you. And everlasting work, when it's coming to you, it's come to you as the love of the Father. Everlasting, the first work is the love of the Father. Say the first work is the love of the Father. But there are things that you must be doing for them to come and install that work inside you. Then you will do it. So you have to love when you say, see, you purify yourself in obeying the truth unto unfailing love of the brethren. So you have obeyed. You are as an obedient child. Pastor Tucker was teaching that. You are as an obedient child. You have obeyed from the heart, not from the doctrine of Christ. And by reason of that, you have come into what? Unfailing or sincere love of the brethren. So your love is sincere. Your love is truth. Then, now that your love is truth, that's not the destination. You love in truth, but you are not yet being given for sweet-smelling sacrifice acceptable to God. That's what you must generate that will make the Father to move to you. And what that thing is meant to do, because, is that the love of the Father cannot be in you when you still have some things inside of you, which you call lust. See that you love one another fervently. See that you love one another fervently. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. So fervent love, we do the last work of dealing with every remaining residual of this world inside of you. See that you love another fervently. When you are loving fervently, you want to love until love not the world, not the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So you cannot love the world and the love of the Father be in you. So fervent love of the brethren is to aspire remaining residual of the love of the world inside of you. So that by the time they are taking away the love of the world, the love of the Father, or be holy as my Father is holy. So the love of the Father is holy of the Father. Say the love of the Father. The love of the Father is the holiness of the Father. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. Say holy. Be holy as your Father in heaven is holy. This is Father. Be holy as my Father in heaven is holy. So if you are holy, be holy and without blame before him in love. So that means when you are holy and without blame, the love of the Father is in you. So the love of the Father is to be holy and to be without blame. Say, the love of the Father is to be holy and without blame. That's love with Father. When they say a man has the love of the Father inside, you just mean a man is holy and is without blame before God, not before men. Before him in love. So what he's describing there is the love of the Father who has chosen us in him before the world began, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. Be holy as your very Father is holy. So that holiness is not holiness in Christ. This is not sanctuary. This holiness you do from the sanctuary until you access the most holy place. Be holy and without blame before God. This is the most holy thing. This is an holy temple. An holy temple that the love of the Father. So what they call the love of the Father is the work of the Father. So you have to do the bread, love of the brethren, do the brethren, you know what I mean? And then you become holy. So love the brethren fervently will make you holy. Say that, y'all. So that's it. So make loving the brethren fervently from the pure heart will make you holy. You have a pure heart, but they want to move from being pure to being holy. Say they want to move me from being pure onto becoming holy. You can be pure, but you cannot make holy. For it's holy. Make higher than sinner, harmless. So, for such an high priest became us, who is holy. For the beginning of calibration, high priest, that's high priest holy. So, as I said, an holy priesthood is an high priest. So, can you see it again? You know, you talk about that book of 1 Peter chapter 2. A spiritual house, an holy priesthood. So, an holy priesthood is an high priest. For you don't know that this such an high priest became us. Who is holy? So you can say he's an holy high priest or holy priesthood, which is also an holy temple. Hallelujah. Amen. Is that clear? Yes, so you cannot. I'm trying to show us how we move ourselves into becoming an holy temple. Who is also a man that had the love of the Father inside of him? The love of the Father. To have the love of the Father is work. That's what they call first work. Say the love of the Father. So the love of the Father is good pleasure of his will. Say the love of the Father is good pleasure of his will. That's the love of the Father. So the love of the Father is the good pleasure of his will. It's his way. What the Father loves is his way. Say that, Charles. What the Father loves is his way. The Father does not love everything outside his way. The Father is in love with his way. When you pray, Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom be done on earth. What the Father is in love with is his way. That's why he sent that children. Have you told us in him before the world, foundation of the world, that we should be holy? Or we should be love. We should be in love. And our love should be without blame before him in love. Have we presented us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself? According to how we are going to attain a state of holiness and blamelessness in love. Not just pure in love. Not just fervent in love. We can be holy and without blemish in love. How we are going to attain that state is that they must reveal to us the good pleasure of his will. And the good pleasure is we is the gifting of the good gift to us. Some just say, according to the goodness or according to the good pleasure of his will. So that first John chapter 2 says, love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So you can't have the world inside of you and love the Father. Before the Father, the Father can be in you, the world must have passed away. Say, before the love of the Father can be in me. Say, the world must have passed away. For all that is in the world, the love of the flesh, love of the eyes, the pride of life, it is not of the Father. So this thing of the Father must be in you. It is not of the Father, but of the world. The world passeth away and the laws thereof. But he that doeth the will of God, that will of God means the will of the Father. For he that doeth the good pleasure of his will shall abide forever. When you do the good pleasure of his will, or you do it that doeth the will of God, or you do both the will of God, means you do the first and the last work. You do the good and the perfect work, you will abide forever. Abide forever means you break into everlasting life. In Christ you abide. Say that, church. Say for these three abideth. Say for faith, hope, and charity. Say the greatest of all is charity. Now abideth. Say now abideth. Say abideth forever. So there's something that can abide now, but never able to abide forever. Something can be abiding for now. Like a house that was built. It was abiding. It was raising. But when the wind blew on it, when it blew, rain fall, that was abiding, collapse. So faith, hope, and charity is abiding now. But when you subject under pressure, can it abide forever? So that which can abide forever is a man that the world has passed away and he has done fervent charity unto the good pleasure of his will and the perfect pleasure of his will, and is now attained to a state of what? Abiding forever. Say, doer of the will abide forever. So yeah, what was sitting here is the temple of God that can abide forever. But I feel really, is it becoming clearer? I felt that the Lord wants me, but I say, God, why are you keeping me here? But all this I'm teaching everlasting life. It's everlasting life. I'm teaching about the temple of God. This is all everlasting life. So we can't teach about everlasting life to become an holy temple for God. Or a people that can abide forever. People that can abide forever. Last week we thought it as well. That cannot be moved. Unmovable. Yeah. But God is also teaching. That's the note we ended last week Friday. But now we're abiding out of that which world. I've said the Lord always before me. He's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Or receive the kingdom which cannot be moved. You know, I was comparing many scripture. For Zion, Jerusalem is like, oh, Zion is like, that is compacted together. Fitted together. That cannot be moved. So the note, that was note we ended last Friday. So this Friday we ended that he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. These are all learning of everlasting life. They are all learning, lesson of everlasting life. They are all lessons of everlasting life. So we can see that a spiritual house and priesthood, what? An holy temple that can offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God. So you can see a man that God can accept. A man is a man that can just generally sweet smelling. So sweet smelling sacrifice is holiness and blamelessness. Say, sweet smelling sacrifice to God is holiness and without blemish before him or before his sight. Which also confirm Romans 12. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies to God. That God is the Father, a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable. So what God accepts is a living and holy sacrifice unto God. That means that God accept me, that which is smelling, God smell that is mine, which that temple is offering to him. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. A living sacrifice. It's a sweet-smelling sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your reasonable work. That's the work you are doing. It's not carrying chair. Your work is that you are living a holy life And that life, you are alive. You can respond to God's instruction. Say a living sacrifice. It's a man that can respond to God. He can respond to the living God. Let's begin to respond tonight. Just thank God tonight.